Welcome, dear friends, to the message of truth coming to you from the studios of Way of Truth Ministries, Altoona, Pennsylvania. This is Brother Fawn Miller, speaker and the broadcast director of Way of Truth Ministries, and we're delighted you have taken the time today to tune our way to give us the privilege of sharing the Word of God with you. We'll be looking in Colossians chapter 1, and we're going to be talking about this spirituality that we need to have as Paul relates it to the Colossian believers and how it can be of an effect to us. So, as we look into the Word of God today, I trust you'll get your Bible if it's possible and follow along with us. And we'll trust the Lord to give us an answer, some answers to spirituality. We hear a lot about it. Now we want to see, what does God say? So let's go to the Lord in prayer. We shall go to a song and then right in to the teaching of the Word of God. Heavenly Father, thank you so much for the privilege it's ours to bring forth the Word of God, that we might share your word with maybe hearts that are hurting today, hearts that are going through some real battles, some others who maybe do not even know thee, but this would be the answer to their spiritual life. I pray, our Father, that you would get all the glory and honor, and that the results will be brought forth so that you can and are honored in the preaching of the word, in the all of the program. We just commit it to thee in Jesus' name. Amen.
Be thou my vision, O Lord of my heart. Not be all else to me save that thou art. Thou my best thought by day or by night. Waking or sleeping, thy presence my light. Be thou my wisdom and thou my true word. I ever with thee and thou with me, Lord. Thou my great Father and I thy true Son. Thou in me dwelling and I with thee one. High King of heaven, my victory won, may I reach heaven's joys, O bright heaven's sun. Heart of my own heart, whatever befall, still be my vision, O
Amen. A tremendous song, Be Thou My Vision. I hope that's your prayer. Be Thou My Vision. Well, we're looking at Colossians in chapter 1, looking at the principles of spiritual living. And we have come down through, we have talked about chapter 1, verse 20. And today we're going to be looking at verse 22. But I wanted to go back and just pull one thing up again that we dealt with in previous messages. And that is in verse 19, and I'll read 18 and 19 to get the whole setting of this. And he is the head of the body, the church. And we've talked plenty about that. We'll not go back to that. Who is the beginning, the firstborn from the dead, that in all things he might have the preeminence. Now note this, for it pleased the Father that in him should all fullness dwell. Now the Bible tells us we are complete in Christ. In other words, we have everything that we need in Christ to live a spiritual life. And yet many times we see the carnality that is in the believers. We see churches that turn away from a clear biblical stand, incorporate that which is of a worldly nature in many different ways, many different aspects, and they cease that consistency of living for Christ. I want you to know that every church, of course, a local church is made up of believers, local people who make up that congregation. Now, every church has the potential to be a spiritual church, as do every believer, because we're complete in Jesus Christ. Now, when we come to verse 20, we read that having made peace through the blood of his cross, by him to reconcile all things unto himself, by him I say, whether they be things in earth or things in heaven. And you that were sometime alienated and enemies in your mind by wicked works, yet now hath he reconciled. So God is reconciling us to himself. By the way, I'm not going to go back there, but you might go to 2 Corinthians in chapter 5, and you might look into the very fact as how God, through Christ, has given us the ministry of reconciliation. I'd invite you to look and jot it down, and after we're off the air, well, maybe you want to take the time to study this. But in 2 Corinthians chapter 5, verses 14 through 21, and you see that we have the ministry of reconciliation. That is, God reconciles us to himself through the blood of Christ. But he's given to you and to me who are born again, who are believers in Christ, he's given to us the ministry of reconciliation that you and I need to go forth and tell people about the Lord. Now, we can't reconcile them, but that's already been paid. The price has been paid. All we need to do is go to them and tell them the price is paid. Your sin is covered if you'll accept it. And, of course, we'll have to explain the plan of salvation to them undoubtedly. But very simply, he says this, that it's through the blood of his cross. Now, I want you to go with me down here. And, in fact, we'll read verse 21. But 22 is our key verse that we want to look at to start with today. In the body, verse 21, and you that were sometimes alienated and enemies in your mind by wicked works, yet now hath he reconciled. And again, that is that reconciliation that we talked about. The fact we walked according to the course of this world, all one needs do is read Romans chapter 1 through 3 and see the course of this world, how it works within our lives. And so he says, you walked according to that, but now notice, if you will with me, verse 22. Now he said he's reconciled you, and now hath he reconciled in the body of his flesh through death. Now, the very important thought here is that it's in the body of his flesh that did not stay in that grave. Go back with me for a second, a few moments. I shouldn't say a second because it's a lot longer than that. But if just for a few moments and look at Romans chapter 4. Romans in chapter 4, and we will look at verse 24 and 5. But for us also to whom it shall be imputed, if we believe on him, God, that raised up Jesus our Lord from the dead, now note this, who was delivered for our offenses and was raised again for our justification. And then he goes on in verse 1 of chapter 5, therefore being justified by faith, we have peace with God through our Lord Jesus Christ, by whom also we have access by faith into this grace, wherein we stand and rejoice in hope of the glory of God. So when he's talking about that in the body of his flesh through death, as we read back here in Romans in chapter 4 and 5, so to present you holy, unblameable, unreprovable in his sight. You can live spiritual. What did I say back yonder here in verse 19? We have all fullness in Christ. So you and I have everything we need to live a spiritual life. And consequently, if you and I are living spiritual, our church will be spiritual. That's where it goes. Yes, a preacher has a responsibility of teaching the word and preaching the word and being an example. But you and I, who make up the congregation, we must be spiritual in order for the church to be spiritual. That building can't be spiritual. You know, I've been with believers out in the bush area of Africa. And, you know, what's so interesting, I'll never forget, being with a group of people who came there and they had it marked off on the ground, one big tree that kind of gave them a little bit of shade, and they marked it off on the ground where their building should be put. And they, as though the building were done, and that's faith, they said, look here's where our building will be. This will be our church building. And they had posts driven into the ground. Well, it could have been, they may have cut down the trees that were there anyhow. And then they put boards, sliced boards on those posts, and that's where they sat. And they'd sit for several hours on those hard seats. No padded seats for them. But, you know, just to see the joy of this group of people meeting under a tree. And then we saw a group that was a little, even bigger than that, and they were fortunate they had a bigger tree. But seriously, they were outside. There was no building, no roof over their heads, and they were thrilled that this was their church. Well, you see, the building can't be spiritual. Now, you can desecrate the building. I am not saying that. I'm not even getting there, going around that gatepost, you know. But what I'm saying is if that church is going to have an influence in the community, an influence in people's lives, it has to be a spiritual entity. And that comes by its people really being spiritual. Not saying they're spiritual, but being spiritual. Now, the potential of being that is seen in the statement here, being unreprovable, unblameable, and to be holy. Go back with me to 1 Peter. Go back to 1 Peter for a moment. Peter's an interesting man. Everybody likes to be critical of him, you know. Open mouth, insert foot. Well, he did plenty of that. But just like the rest of us, by the way, I tell people I like Peter and I like to read about him because it's so much of me there, except that he became a very rich spiritual man. And I would love to be into that category. Notice, if you will, in 1 Peter chapter 2, when he talks here about laying aside all malice, guile, hypocrisies, as newborn baby, desire the sincere milk of the word, and he gives the foundational things, principles, that we need to apply in our lives. And then when he comes over to verse 9, he's telling us why we ought to add these things to our lives. You know, supply more than generously, as he talks about it in 2 Peter chapter 1. But ye are a chosen generation. Now notice this. This is believers, born again believers. Ye are a chosen generation, a royal priesthood, a peculiar people. Not odd, but rather you're different than the world. The world will wonder. In chapter 1, he says that they wonder why we don't run to the same excess of riot. Because our lives are different. God has done something in them. And he said, that ye should show forth the praises of him who hath called you out of darkness into his marvelous light. Then in verse 10, he says, which in time past were not a people, but are now the people of God, which had not obtained mercy, but now have obtained mercy. Then he goes on and talks to us, them about being strangers and pilgrims, abstain from fleshly lusts, which war against the soul. And so on. You read the balance of chapter 2 here. But you see, this is exactly what Paul is saying over here in verse number 22. He's calling them to a place of holiness, a place of dedication to the Lord. Now, I made mention to you before that God gives you and I the potential of making those changes that he desires in our lives. Now, I want you to turn with me to Colossians chapter 3. We're going to listen to a quality song, bring some thoughts out of Colossians chapter 3, and then we want to move on to Colossians chapter 1, verse 23. So listen to this song. May it help and encourage you in the Lord.
Savior leads me. What have I to ask beside? Can I doubt his tender mercy, who through life has been my guide? Heavenly peace, divinest comfort, here by faith in him to dwell. For I know for me, Jesus doeth all things well. For I know whatever befall me, Jesus doeth all things well. All the way my Savior leads me, tears each winding path I tread, gives me grace for every trial, feeds me with the living bread. Though my weary steps may falter, and my soul athirst may be, gushing from the rock before spring of joy I see, gushing from the rock before me, though a spring of joy I see. Of his love, perfect rest to me is promised in my Father's house above. When my spirit, clothed immortal, wings its flight to realms of day, this my song through endless ages, Jesus led me on. My song through endless ages, Jesus led me all the
Amen. All the way my Savior leads me. Well, that's what we're talking about, friend. Look at Colossians chapter 3 and verse 1. Now, we're talking about this being holy, being unblameable, unreprovable. Now, you come to chapter 3, and by the way, may I say this? What Paul is doing in the book of Colossians is presenting the fact that Christ is all sufficient. It was Theodore Epp who wrote, who actually penned a book about the sufficiency of Christ in the book of Colossians and how true that is. He is saying that we have everything we need. As I've said several times in this series, we have everything we need to live and walk spiritually. It's whether or not we apply it. In chapter 3 of Colossians, we read, if you then be risen with Christ. Now, note that. If you're saved, if you've been born again, if you've been washed in the blood, not joined a church, not done catechism, not done baptism. I mean, that ought to be happen after you've been born again. And you ought to be join a good fundamental church when you have been saved and are willing to be baptized. But notice he says, if you then be risen with Christ, if you've been born again, if you've been saved, seek those things which are above. Now, the word seek indicates that you and I have to do something. We have to seek to do it. God's laid it out in front of us. You know, and it's up to us to go after it, to seek it out. It's up to us to spend the time, quality time, in order to have this information, the spiritual qualities realized in our lives. And he says, we're risen with Christ. Seek those things which are above. Now, you know, that sort of reminds me of what Paul told the Philippian people. They are to think on these things in chapter 4 and verse 8. But he said, if there's any virtue, any praise, think on these things. So here he's saying, you know, if you seek those things which are above, those things that will exalt the Lord Jesus Christ, those things that will honor a God. You see, I can do that, for he says, those things which are above, where Christ sitteth on the right hand of God. Just go over to chapter 2 and verse 9 and notice this. For he in him dwelleth all the fullness of the Godhead bodily. And look at verse 10. And ye are complete in him, which is the head of all principality and power. So you see, the sufficiency of Christ puts us into the place where we can seek the things that are above. Then number two, we're to set our affection. Notice that's singular. It's not looking at all different kind of things, but putting my whole purpose of life on those things which are above. Now, and then he says, not on the things of the earth. In other words, the things of the earth are going to fade away. You put all your confidence in that brand new car, and not a thing wrong with it. I am not being critical having a brand new car. You can afford it, buy it. I'm serious. I mean, you can get a lot of junkers in the used end of it. Thank goodness for good mechanics and that to fix up used ones and that I can afford to buy. But the simple thing is this, that if we set our affection on that, that car can be run into, that car can fall apart. We set our affection on the job we have. And I'll tell you what, there are a lot of people that are hurting right now, had great jobs, and they were trying to honor the Lord in it. But for what reason, known unto the company, whatever, the job fizzled out. I mean, you looked at all these here, Kmart's and Sears, that people probably thought they had a secure job, and it wasn't that large a pay, but at least it was steady income, and they're gone. And many others are likewise gone. So set your affection on things above, on the things of the Lord. And you could look at that in Deuteronomy chapter 6 and verse 5 as an example, and many other verses of Scripture. But number 3, he says, for ye are dead and your life is hid with Christ in God. This is surrender. That's what Paul talks about in Romans chapter 12, 1 and 2. I beseech you, therefore, brethren, by the mercies of God, ye present your body. There, you and I've got to do it. Present our body a living sacrifice, wholly acceptable unto God, which is your reasonable service. Be not conformed to this world, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind. You may prove what is that good and acceptable and perfect will of God. It's a matter of surrender. So I'm to seek the things that are above. I'm to set my affection on things above. I'm to surrender my life to God and let him operate it, work it, turn it however he wants. Then number four and the fourth verse, when Christ, who is our life, shall appear, then shall ye also appear with him in glory. And I title that Satisfaction. I am completely satisfied. You see, when I pass this earth, when I die or when the Lord comes back, I'm going to be with him. And Paul said to the Philippians, he said he has a desire to depart and be with Christ, which is far better. But it's needful for me to stay with you. So very simply, this matter of you and I having the charge of our life. And yet what's interesting, all I have to do is be willing to do that. Follow those four things I just mentioned in Colossians chapter 3. And God gives the grace, the strength, the ability, the wisdom, the guidance, and everything. It all comes from him. But I've got to be willing to do it. You see, God was going to raise, you know, Abraham believed God was going to raise up Isaac. But in order for Isaac to be the sacrifice God wanted him to be, Abraham had to be willing to take him to Mount Moriah, to build that altar, and then sacrifice him. But you know, the wonderful thing of that whole account is this, that as he prepared to sacrifice his son, God stepped in. I don't know what the sacrifice is that God wants you and I to make so we might be spiritual. But I want you to know the day that you and I say, Lord, I surrender all. I surrender all. He'll step in and he'll guide us. He'll do for us what we in no way can do for ourselves. Let's be spiritual people, God's way, honoring Jesus Christ, who is our focal point. Father, take the word and speak to hearts. Help us to be mindful of your presence in our lives. In Jesus' name, amen. If we might be a spiritual help to you, please contact us at WOTBM.org. Write us an email or message of truth, 315 40th Street, Altoona, Pennsylvania, 16602 USA. God bless you.